Welcome to Tarot for the Wild Soul, a podcast that explores the tarot through an inclusive, soul-centered, trauma-informed perspective for growth, healing, and evolution. I'm your host, Lindsay Mack. Hello, loves. Welcome back to the podcast. So lovely to be with you. As always, just so thankful for the sweet community and the opportunity to gather with you for our last monthly medicine of 2023. It was the shittiest year. I'm happy to see the back of it, to be just frank right out of the gate. I'm glad we won't see another chariot year for 9 years. That's something to be thankful for. Love chariot energy, love cancers, but not cool, not fun. I just want to start by acknowledging it was not my intention to take all of November off. And I apologize. It was one of those months where can't get into all of the specifics. Eventually I will. But the end of August had like a huge, like professional thing happen that took an enormous amount of energy. And like, it was a very big thing that happened, and it was, you know, very anxiety producing and really exciting, like a lot of different like emotions. And I learned about that on like November 1st. And then like, I just tanked. I was so tired. I was so burned out. It was a lot of energy. It was like, October was a lot of work. And then in November, my kiddo got sick 3 separate times, and I was doing my first ever long form course since having my kiddo. And it just took like so much work on top of the other work. Like, it's still pretty easy peasy, but and then when I was planning to come back to the podcast, my beloved, 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 cherished, beautiful kitty, Wee Woo, who was around 17 years old and who we had for 15 years old, died very suddenly, just about 2 weeks ago. So it was almost like I couldn't even get here to tell y'all I couldn't get here, you know? So sorry about that. I wasn't planning to have just a month with no episodes, but that's why. There's a lot going on. I will also share with you, I very rarely share kind of how the sausage is made in this way. This is my third intro that I've recorded for this podcast. Number 3. And it's because number 1, the theme for the month of December is shift. We'll get into that in a few minutes. It's already clearly, like I've had multiple big shifts in what I'm doing, what I'm promoting and creating for the holidays, like what I'm, it's been so many super quick changes just based on like getting more information about something, whatever. So I mean, to y'all, it'll feel like nothing. It'll just feel like I'm here with you, but it's been a lot. A lot. I'm so excited though to be here. We have a nice full month of episodes. Our episodes this month are going to be, I think, really sweet. There's been a bunch of stuff that I've wanted to teach about and share for a while. So we'll dip into some of those. We'll do Q&A episodes. We'll do probably a nice episode for 2024. I don't totally know, but cooking something up, and hopefully it'll be really sweet. But yeah, just once more, just so thankful to be here with everybody. Thanks for your presence. I have a couple of I think only one, frankly, big announcement. It's not even that big. Next week, from December 4th to December 8th, I'm having my beloved, very popular annual Wild Soul holiday sale. We're moving from Teachable to Kajabi, it looks like. There will be more information about that for folks. Honestly, the way things are going, who knows? You could hear from me a week from now being like, we're not moving. Who fucking knows? It's bananas, but it does look that way. And so we're doing this sale on Kajabi. And because we're in the middle of porting everything over, there's only like three things available like for sale right now. Solterra 101, which is my like fabulous workshop, like super robust, amazing workshop for beginner folks, like people who are really new to tarot or are new to my style of working. Used to be evergreen, now it is live. So it's going to, it's open for enrollment. The material will drop in mid-January, and then you'll get a 2.5 hour live Q&A and practice call with me on Saturday, January 20th. So that's very nice. There's an amazing like discount on that. Doing Spiralic Tarot again, which is kind of microcosmic astrological channel downloads for, again, all of the astrological seasons. And it's going to be for 6 months. So I usually do it. I usually drop Spiralic Tarot 4 times a year. This will just be twice a year. So this one will be from Capricorn season, winter solstice here in the Northern Hemisphere, to the summer solstice. Summer solstice will be a part of the next round, but it'll go from Capricorn to Gemini season. So we'll be together for 6 months. You'll get these really juicy downloads for each of the astro seasons ahead. You'll get little rituals for all the 8 Sabbats. And there's a really nice discount on that. And then of course, last but not least, we have the threshold for 2024 and your year ahead. And I always say this because it's never not true, but this threshold is like really big. It wants to be like bigger than the other ones. I can feel the message and the medicine, even in writing the description for threshold, is complex. Sometimes it's very straightforward. Other times it's a bit more complex. This one is layered. It's layered. And also in some ways, like a breaking of the chains that we've been praying for basically since like 2020 and before that. And, you know, there's some energetic ties that are breaking in 2024, especially in 2025. So that's on sale. That'll be on sale from the 4th to the 8th. And you can bundle all those together in a bunch of different combos. And the link will be in your show notes. And yeah, we'll probably record a little mini reminder on the podcast on Monday. Or I'll have another episode come out Monday, depending on what I can do. But yeah, that's happening. And then from the 11th to the 13th, we have a 40% off sale for all of our workshops, which is really nice. And then week after that, week of the 18th, I'm going to be opening up my books for threshold readings for 2024. So it's a full couple of weeks. And those are the announcements as far as that goes. So yeah. I think that's all. If I remember anything, I'll tack it on to the back of the episode. Please send me your questions. I always love to hear from y'all. I would love to have a fresh, there's so many questions I haven't answered, but I would still love to have a fresh stack of cues to work through in 2024. So yeah, just excited to be here together with you. I've said that 80 times, but I really have missed the space in this community. So thank you for being here. So onto our channeled reading for the month ahead. So our theme for December is shift. And like all aspects of 2023 so far, the shift is not going to be very concretely or very externally felt. We have to remember, as I've reminded everybody ad nauseum 600,000 times this year, 2023 is a year marinated in Cancer energy, because it is ruled by the chariots. We must remember that. This is a Cancerian year. This is an onion year. Many layers. And our job above all things in chariot years is to slough off the layers that cannot come with us into this new cycle. And make no mistake, yes, all new years are a new cycle. 2024 is a start of a new cycle. Number one, it's the beginning of a fire season. Number, you know, because Leo is connected to fire, and 2024 is a strength year or a justice year, depending on how you look at it. But either, whether you connect it to justice or strength, I work with a strength ordering, and that's what threshold will be centered in, although I will probably make a little space to talk about justice too, because I'd be remiss if I didn't in that download. But either way, no matter how you consider eight, number eight is the beginning, honoring Rachel Pollack here, of our work in a line two cycle. So for the next 7 years, we're going to be working with line two cards. And that is big. You know, that's really formidable. Line two is big work. It's important work. You know, it's very big. So there, we've been in line one since 2020. We flipped from line two. 2019 was a line two year. We were in a tethered 1 year. Then because of just the numerical difference between 2019 and 2020, moving from 12 to 4, it was a shift back up to line one. And these are all, if we look back on the last 4 years, it's all line one themes. That's all been about identity, foundation, who we are, what we state, what we're communicating, what we're doing. Line two work is the undoing in some ways of anything around that that is we may have outgrown, that may have changed us to the point in positive ways that like we're like, whoa, there, you know, there's no way that all these other aspects of my life that are out of date as compared to all of these evolved parts of me, everything has to come with me. Line two work has to do very strongly with undoing in order to continue to create the life, the, you know, environment that we want. You know, it's a year of big surrendering. It's also years that promote huge creation, real expansion, because we're not building towers on shifting sands, which can happen in line one. Line one work, we've been in it since 2020. A lot of it is like, I do this because I want to do it. I do this because I demand it. I do this because I'm forcing it. I do this because line one the whole point of it is permission to explore, permission to create, permission to expand. Line two is way more about like, we do what's in alignment, ideally, right? This is still life. A lot of people just shirk that. But if we're willing to be lined up and synced up with those invitations, it can be incredible. It can really, really, really be remarkable. There can be just so many beautiful things that can unfold from there. So December is a bridge from this year to next year. And the theme is shift. And again, all that to say that we've been in and are continuing to be for the next month, a very cancer-colored, cancer-flavored situation. So when we talk about shifting, we're doing so in a way that is big and profound and valid and worthy, but we may not feel it. We may not be feeling into it in a linear way. We may not be experiencing it in a linear way. It may not be so clear to us. And as a matter of fact, it likely won't due to the cards we've pulled. So understand that where we are in December, we have the opportunity to be somewhere completely different in January, if even in feeling only, if even in experience only, there is change coming. There is change coming. There are shifts coming. There is a kind of a soul migration of sorts that's happening right now. Not literally like souls migrating away, but meaning the call that animals and birds and geese do every year to begin to shift and to move from, like, we're seeing them all the time right here in the Pacific Northwest, like so many, you know, delightful collections of geese going to warmer spots for the winter. It is a time when we understand, like, okay, where I've been, it's time for me to shift. It's time for me to flow in some way. And we are heeding some kind of call. even if we don't necessarily know why, or we don't necessarily know how, or we don't necessarily know like where it's taking us, it might not feel like the perfect time, and yet it's kind of happening, and we're like, ooh, and it doesn't mean we don't have control over it. The card that we're working with for this month, the card like for December, is Wheel of Fortune. Basically, all the cards that we're going to talk about after Wheel of Fortune have to do with how to work intelligently and gracefully with Wheel of Fortune. Wheel of Fortune is a very specific energy. Wheel of Fortune seems enormous and vast and fireworks and boo. And it actually feels, when we're in this card, like nothing's really happening. And sometimes the perception of what this card should look like based on like the image of it, or, you know, what it should feel like based on the lore of it, can seem like we're missing something. And in truth, we're not. Wheel of Fortune just really is a very interesting, odd energy that is delicious. It's ruled by Jupiter, connected to Sagittarius because of that ruling. And it does mark, I don't think Wheel of Fortune ever brings unfortunate change. All right. I think that's a really old paradigm treatment of it. Wheel of Fortune, it's aligned to energy in terms of the major arcana. Wheel of Fortune has to do with trying, like the cold winds, you know, helping to blow those leaves off the trees. Wheel of Fortune is here to help to kind of, one, blow the leaves off our trees that are already dead, that are stagnant. It's trying to blow something through and shift something. Wheel of Fortune also, I believe personally, always tries to upgrade us in some way. It's the beginning of something that happens in line two, where from the start of line two, be it strength or justice, whatever you, I think both apply, like through to Hermit, through to Wheel of Fortune, through to Justice, through to Tethered One, into Death, into Temperance. We're going from kind of like, I'm willing to go on a journey of the heart here. There's a lot of energies in line two that have to do with kind of being rooted in place, so that as a human, our human tendencies and the stuff that we have conditioning to do, the ego, doesn't get the better of us and doesn't take the wheel of the car. We're kind of put on rest a little bit, or we're cocooned, or we're suspended, so that we learn how to work with what's in alignment. We learn how to work with divine timing. We learn how to work with the soul. We learn how to trust that things may not look how we'd prefer, how we might want, or we might have a desire for something different. All that's valid. All that's valid. I've never been more stuck and stagnant than I have in 2023. Wonderful things, blessed things. I have a very privileged life, hugely privileged. I have never been more stuck than I have this year around like, we're doing this, we're not doing this. Okay. I'm going to wait. I'm going to continue waiting. You're not telling me. Okay. I have to figure something. Like, it's been very challenging. I know I'm not alone. A lot of people have had that experience. It's, you know, it's a cherry year. It's like a part of it, very liminal. But there's something about Wheel of Fortune that is an assistant. It's our first real kind of, in the journey of the major arcana, it's our first real brush with us doing the work we're supposed to do and letting spirit do their part. We get to continue on this theme in Temperance at the end of line two, which totally makes sense. Temperance is ruled by Sagittarius. Wheel of Fortune's ruled by Jupiter, which is the ruling planet of Sagittarius. So there's a lot of crossover with Wheel of Fortune and Temperance, you know, on purpose. But yeah, this month, Wheel of Fortune is blowing in. And when Wheel of Fortune comes to the door as a guest, your best, like these are my hot tips, like for welcoming in Wheel of Fortune, okay? Because Wheel of Fortune is not here to hand you a shitty deal. Again, that's old school shit. We can throw that in the garbage where it belongs, okay? 100%. It's not to say that life, we don't get bad hands or difficult things don't happen. They do, flat out. But no card is ever going to come with that. That's a human thing. No card is ever going to come in with that kind of hypervigilance attached to it. Because what can we do, right? We can't do anything. Wheel of Fortune presents change and an upgrade in some way if we're willing to allow it to happen. If we're willing to get out of our own way. If we're willing to trust that spirit might have a different destination in mind for us than we do. Wheel of Fortune actually has, on paper, a pretty simple request of us. It acknowledges as it walks through our door with its like basket of apples and whatever gifts it has for us. I'm here to bring about a change, a welcome one, one that you've wanted, but you're not going to know about what it is. You're not going to know necessarily where you're going. I am a continuation, Wheel of Fortune says, of the Hermit. That is a part of line two. We release expectation. We release our attachment to needing to know what's coming next and needing to demand or having entitlement around knowing that. We recognize that we're a part of a mystery in moving through this life. So Wheel of Fortune says, I'm here to bring about change that's welcome, that's ready, that you've wanted. I'm here to blow through whatever has to be cleared in order to do that. So while I'm taking care of the really big picture stuff, your job is to be in the little picture. Your job over here, while I am redoing the roof of your house, your job is to be going through this big old closet full of clutter or this old, we just actually went through this again with Wee Woo passing. It started with like, after taking some time, like, you know, cleaning his stuff out and giving some things away, like his food and like treasuring some of the things that he had. And then it became like, wow, we haven't like cleaned out this drawer in a while. And like, wow, this whole area has been like kind of like behind a big clean for once. And it was like the whole house. But it has been really remarkable and really powerful. And that is sort of our job. When we're in Wheel of Fortune, it seems so much grander and broader and more epic. It really isn't. It is in hindsight. But when you're in Wheel of Fortune, we are shifting, but we're not controlling the shift. We're surrendering to the shift. We're letting it take us to the next destination of our lives. That's part of our job. It's part of the work and the invitation of this card. It's not even something that like, oh, we have to overcome in some way. It's part of the deal. We stay at the center of the wheel. Spirit takes care of the tire. And that's part of the start, the spark, the beginning of a co-collaborative relationship between human and soul, between us and spirit, right? So what we cannot control, we release in Wheel of Fortune. What we've tried everything, attempted to do, think we should be doing, but it's just not budging. We lift it up and go, okay, like, what can I say? What's another way to do it? I got to let it go. That's a big shift right there. Really releasing what we can't change, what we've tried so hard to change and we just can't do it. It's partly because probably we weren't meant to, or, you know, something, it's just not something, maybe like take out weren't meant to. Sometimes we never know the meaning of something or the why. This month is really about coming back to a deeper connection with the quiet, with those inner whispers, with those deeper calls, and tending to the shit that has our name on it. Like tending to the stuff that's part of our responsibility to be tending to, whether that be our grief, our needs, our boundaries, or whether it be a literal closet or house full of shit to go through, or whatever it might be, right? Like doing our work and being like, okay, I don't know about all these other things, but I am going to write, right? That's what I know to do. So there's a big shift coming. A lot of us will not know the why, the how, the way, the what of that, but it is coming. 2024 is a really different year. Part of our job will be every day as a devotion. May I stay at the center of that wheel, focusing on pouring my attention, pouring my efforts into what I can control, what I can actionably take care of, what I can do, you know, how I can be of service without reaching up into that larger tire, without getting myself involved in a greater mystery that's unfolding right now. That is the work. And that is a part of the shift. That's part of the bridge that's being built this month. So our deepest lesson for the month ahead is Eight of Pentacles. This is not some magical, sweeping, beautiful ride of a change. It's not to say it's a grind, but Eight of Pentacles is like a change and a shift that happens from a fuck ton of hard work. It happens through experience. It happens through repetition. It happens through showing up to the practice, to our craft, over and over again. So for those of us who have been doing that, I think that's everybody who's been doing that, because I think all of us can identify with like working hard at what we're working hard at. Remembering that this, again, it's not a magical thinking change. It's not a change rooted in like, oh, whatever. I'm like, this is just an easy thing. My former teacher, Michelle, always used to talk about like how we do the internal work first, then the external shift happens. Like if like the order, it's very rare that we get the external shift and then the internal work happens. Usually we're doing some manner of internal to greet an external change. Not always, but a lot of the time. Eight of Pentacles, like all the eights have to do with their key word is change. You know, we start one way in an eight and we like exit it differently, you know, as a different person in a different way. Eight of Pentacles is really the only eight that details and explains to us. We become masterful. We become really like we come to a change through experience. We come to a change through practice. We come to this change through work, through repetition, through experience, right? I could never, ever be teaching my students what I do without lived practice, like lived experience, you know, of many readings, like could never, right? I could probably talk about what I had heard elsewhere, but I just wouldn't have the experience to back that up. We don't always need that depending on what we do, but experience is typically the greatest teacher. And so the deepest lesson for us this month is remembering that's a part of the tapestry work of Wheel of Fortune this month specifically. So that work that we're doing at the center of the wheel has to do with repetition. And I would extend that, you know, it's very easy to think about that related to like a craft or, you know, something that we're mastering practically. Soul work is the same thing. We may have to do something 50 times before we realize like, oh, wow, let me catch myself here. You know, we may have to, I shared about this in Intuition as a Spiral in the lessons we were talking about, like what is your, basically your toxic trait as it pertains to like your brain attempting to protect you from intuitive expansion. And my brain weaponizes indecision. Like my brain will be like, well, you could do this, but you could also do these 50 things and like fly off with this thing. And it's like, you know, just being very neurodivergent, autistic, ADHD, you know, pure OCD, intrusive thoughts. It's just like having a lot of noise up in the attic, you know what I mean? And so a lot of different things I could do, you know, and it often takes a lot of practice for me to get down to like, what's the one avenue here? And sometimes I have to try a lot of those things to come to like, you know, those don't work. And but this is feeling right, you know? So it's not like I'm not saying any of that's toxic necessarily. It's more tongue in cheek, not meant to be serious, of course, because again, I understand that that's a part of my makeup, a part of the process. It's a pretty torturous part of the process. I hope it's not always with me, to be frank, like this sense of just constant overthinking and doubting in myself, which is also an OCD thing for me. But yeah, I think that that can also be Eight of Pentacles. Like this pentacle, ooh, we're getting there. This one, well, we're a little closer. This one, oh, that was a little easier this way. Like we learn, right? We learn as we go. That's the deepest lesson, to respect our process, to respect what it is that we're doing, and to understand that whatever the shift is, it's not frivolous. It's been earned. It's been earned. We've been doing the internal work for quite some time to get to the shift that we're about to embark on. So trusting that, I think, is really important. What we can offer and devote our attention to this month, like where can we rest our gaze as we move through this time? Two of Cups. Embracing ourselves, offering ourselves deep, rich, unconditional regard and care. Embracing the parts of us that feel very difficult to love, honoring that we don't have to love all parts of us. We can just be tolerant of them. We can be willing to consider them. We can set the bar at a much more reasonable place. But we don't want to be at war with ourselves. We want to embrace. We can embrace. We can acknowledge, like, even though this part of me, I'm still working on it, it's still tricky for me, I'm willing to consider that I could get to a different place. I'm willing to consider that there could be something inside of this part of me that I'm working on right now that's of benefit, or maybe is trying to protect me from something. I can see the good intention under it. I can see something, and these are my words. They might not be yours. That is inside of all this work, all this shifting, all this clearing, all of these different things that are happening for us and to us this month, that are guiding us from one year to another. We want to be loving of self. It's not selfish. It's not frivolous. It is the key. It is the way, the light, and the truth, is that if there's any part of us that is in war with ourselves, that's punishing ourselves, that, you know, some, it's not to say, oh, it's so easy to just drop all that, but we want to be in the pursuit of it and in the willingness to consider tolerance, if not love, of these parts of ourselves. We want to be taking all parts of ourselves with us. And in that, change and shifting is really scary, especially if we have trauma, if we have a sensitive inner kiddo. If there are parts of us that don't really work with change all that well, even if it's awesome and welcome. We don't have to explain that to anybody. Like, it's okay if it's challenging for us, you know? And I think that that is important, to also love up the parts of us that might be feeling a little overwhelmed by all of this change, by all of these shifts, and by what might feel like a year full of a lot of momentum and a lot of energy and a lot of stuff simmering, but nothing that's clear, you know? Because again, this is Wheel of Fortune month, which is often about massive change that happens in the internal realm and in the unseen realm, that then all of a sudden leads and yields to something else happening. But we don't know that. You know, that's the misperception of Wheel of Fortune, is like, oh, change is coming and like it's sweeping us away. Change is coming and it usually is pretty sweeping, but we don't see that. It doesn't ride in like a knight on a horse. You know, it's often very internal. Very internal, very subconscious. And then all of a sudden, there's a sense of understanding once we've done the work that we're supposed to do as a part of the exchange with Wheel of Fortune, because it is absolutely a collaboration, our work with Wheel of Fortune. We pay attention to the shit that we're meant to be paying attention to. And there can be a change happening for us as we do that. And like, we work with spirit. And both of us move us, you know, both of those parts, move us to the next phase of our lives. So really, like, inside of that, part of the important piece about the center of this is Two of Cups. Like, really, whatever that means to you, because that'll be different for all of us. Like, where are we at war with ourselves? Where are we trying to be, you know, where are we often punitive with a part of ourselves? And how can we be just really radically, radically loving and supportive and inclusive to all parts of us? That really can transform quite a bit. How can we tend to ourselves best this season? Four of Wands, I loved that, you know. Four of Wands is finding celebration and play in the way that it makes sense for us. Fours are always in the realm and in the idea, like in the general vicinity of a break, a retreat, some kind of time that is needed for digestion of some sort. And when we're in Four of Wands is a different four than the three other, you know, four cards. Four of Wands is like, yes, take a break, but make it joyful, fun, playful. Make it something that we actually enjoy. Four of Wands is very sort of interesting in like, if we tend to be about like fun and play have to have some sort of purpose, or it needs to be, we need to be learning something. It needs to be spiritually good or whatever it might be. Four of Wands will often be like, no, no, like just go out dancing, like just go to this convention, just go out roller skating, just go out, like it, like just, or just stay home or just read that book. Like it doesn't need to be for anything. It just needs to fill our cup from a joy-centered place, as an assignment, not as frivolity, but as radical care, as essential, really. So that is the best way we can tend to ourselves in the midst of all of this big shift surrender work, is loving the self, tending to the self with great care, and opting for fun and play wherever we can, however we are able to. And the card that is helping to shift us, to move us over this bridge from 2023 to 2024 is Six of Cups. So this is our third in a series of like real juicy Care Bear Stare heart cards. So Six of Cups is interesting. It certainly has to do with inner child work. It certainly has to do with the inner child feeling like there's space for it to be itself, for that part of us to be open and free and liberated and available without being smushed or squashed. More than anything, though, Six of Cups is like an explosion of safe and consensual, like heart-led vulnerability. It's not trauma dumping. It's not telling a whole, you know, stranger our whole life story. It's being vulnerable with the people that we love. It's being vulnerable with our community. It's being vulnerable with ourselves. It's letting ourselves speak something that maybe we've been like, oh, I don't know. Like, should I? Could I? Six of Cups says, yeah. Yeah. We're reopening. And also, I will say this, that when we think about the sixes, we also must, we can't not think about the fives. Because the fives and the sixes go hand in hand with one another. The fives and the sixes are like they answer one another. They're a call and response to each other. So if we think about Five of Cups is not always the card that we want to call upon when we're in grief. It is more of a representation of grief. When we're seeing three spilled cups in front of us that are empty, they're done. We are complete with them, whether we want to be or not. This card, really, the medicine of Five of Cups is really like, take all the time you need to be with those three spilled cups and know that when you're ready, there are two full cups behind you. So it's not like we're like, woohoo, but for some people it might be woohoo. You know, for some people it might be all they need to be like, okay, I am complete with these three spilled cups and I'm going to pivot toward these two full. But a lot of the time when we're in that spiral with the fives of grief and of loss and sometimes Five of Cups comes up and it has nothing to do with loss or grief in the traditional sense. I've gotten Five of Cups, as I've mentioned before, with like business decisions I've made that have been like a big leap in some way. And my brain's like, oh my God, we're fucked. you screwed up, you're done, like whatever, like stories that, like whatever horror stories that it puts out to me, like you shouldn't have done that. And then it all usually goes great. It's just different from what we've done before. Sometimes that's Five of Cups too. But in general, Five of Cups as an energy, not the person moving through it, but the energy of it is very smushed. The view is extremely limited. Like our peripheral vision, soul wise and heart wise, is super cut off. It's an experience of contraction. All the fives are contraction cards. So it's a big tightening of the lens. Six of Cups is a radical opening. It's the heart opening, you know, becoming luscious and ripe and juicy again. We want to share. There's joy. There's an experience of gratitude. There's the heart opening after a time of it being maybe blocked or cut off. And I don't know about all of you, but I do think that this year, for both personal reasons and collective reasons and shared reasons, I have found it outside of my relationship with like my family, my child, where the heart is fully open and expressive, you know, my close kin, I have really found my heart has felt really broken and pretty closed in certain areas, and where there's just been a little bit too much disappointment, a little bit too many shifting sands for me to not feel kind of armed and guarded. And I do think that some of this is not necessarily that changing naturally, but us choosing to reopen the heart again, us choosing to take a chance and open up and be heard, be seen. It's a really important part of this change. This change is very interesting. Like I said at the beginning of this download, like Wheel of Fortune is up the top of this mountain. That's the North Star. It's the guiding light. But it's very much like the light that guides from a dark night. It's the moonlight, right? That sometimes can feel so bright and other times can be bright, but there's not, like we still have to take a flashlight, you know? The work we're doing is way more down to the ground this month with sort of Wheel of Fortune up. And that is a part of, it's a really beautiful explanation as to the difference between the majors and the minors. You know, the majors are that that large scale sweeping seasonal energy where it's not so concrete, not so ABC. The minors are much more about like the on the ground moment to moment work. So even though there's really big shifts, really big energy working through us and around us this month, our work will really be sort of on that ground floor. And what is on that ground floor? Loving the self, opening the heart, trying new things, working really hard, tinkering, shifting, opting in for play and fun where it feels accessible and available to us. Four of Wands is always about accessible, personally led play, like play for you will not look like play for me. And, you know, so, you know, vice versa. That is the invitation for this month. As we leave 2023 and our line one cycle behind that we've been in since 2020 and prepare to move into 2024, a strength/justice year, our first year in line two. And I'll be so grateful to travel through it with you. So thank you so much for listening to this, Wild Souls. It feels really lovely to be diving into the medicine of the year ahead with you. Again, just a gentle reminder about that sale coming up on Monday. At the very least, Threshold is without question like my best-selling, most popular offerings, a full channel download for the year ahead. So if you're seeking that kind of thing, I would love to serve you in that way. So you can go to my website and go to the link in the show notes. And I'll catch you all next week. And until then, till I do, please take care of yourselves. This podcast was edited by Chase Voorhees, podcast art by Rochelle Sartini Gardner, and this episode was transcribed by one of our absolutely brilliant and beautiful transcriptionists, all of which you can learn more about or read about on our website, tarotofthewildsoul.com. If you wish to dive into more of my work, learn more about Soul Tarot, work with me in any kind of capacity, I'm always creating new things for us to do together, but you can find it all about our self-led courses and classes and new offerings on tarotforthewildsoul.com. And if you want to be the first to know about any new offerings, any new projects that I'm doing, if you want to benefit from discounts and early birds and all kinds of lovely newsletter-only offerings, you can sign up for the newsletter at the link in our show notes. And finally, if you have a question for me to answer at the podcast, or if you'd like to work with me live on the podcast, or if you'd like your question answered on the podcast, please click the link to Ask Lindsay and send me your cues. Thank you so much for being here.